Hello everyone. So the session with the talks from the lighting talks from the interns for this year for GNOME will be starting in just a few minutes. I just had a few things to tell to the interns before the session starts. So if you are an intern who is going to talk during this session, please sit in the first 2 rows. It will be easier to switch between the talks. When we switch from one student to another, I will be saying, okay, so next speaker will be blah, blah, blah. And I will be giving the name of the students after that talk so that you can get ready, because it's not very easy to move around. So please get ready in advance. Also, for the timing, this is not going to be nice sounds like waves or birds or anything, because we didn't have time to prepare it. So Marina will be showing signs. First, you'll be showing that, which means you have 10 seconds left. And then when you are done with the time, she will be like, showing very high the out of time sign to tell you, please quickly finish. And if you could finish in 20 or 30 seconds, if you get to see that sign, it would be great. You'll be using that mic to speak. And we have a clicker to switch slides. So there is a right. So right is, means go to the next slide, and left means go to the first slide. And I think that's it. What time is it? Yeah, so we can get started. Marina, do you want to say a few words before we start, or no? Okay. So thanks to you all, students, for all your good work on GNOME this year, this summer. And it's very nice to have you here at GUADEC. And thanks for all the other people who came to see you present your work and explain what you are working on and what exciting stuff GNOME is going to get thanks to your work. And we are going to start with our first student, who is Anton Belkar. And the next student will be Akash Goenka.
Hello, I'm Anton and I'm from Belarus. This is my second year in the summer of code, and I'm working on proxy editing for PTV. Proxy editing is ability to swap original video clips by low resolution video proxies. The proxies are more suited for editing better performance, more stable playback, then the original full quality clips will be used only for exporting in the end. This is great when you have HD video and your computer is not powerful enough to handle real-time playback, or when you add a lot of effects on them. Because PTV use GS, my first step is to implement a new API in GS. I have already implemented transcoding from originals to proxies and some API work. I have completed the API design for the two main things on my slide: manual versus automatic mode, and allowing users to choose which video clips must use proxy editing. This all. Thank you.
So the next speaker will be Akash Goenka, and after, Alessandro Compagni will be presenting his work.
So, hello everyone. My name is Akash Goenka, and I'm lucky to be a part of Google Summer of Code this year, working with GNOME. I'm working on events. So, for those of you who don't know the name, actually, events is the document reader which we have in GNOME. And my project is about adding a bookshelf view of recent documents and tile rendering to events. So, yeah. Now, first of all, let me justify a bit why we need a bookshelf. The main thing is that it provides a better user experience for accessing the recently opened documents. Then it looks way cooler than a blank window, and it is kind of ideal for showing more documents rather than a recent files menu where you can probably only see 4 or 5. So here is a screenshot of whatever has been implemented already, and you have just nice big thumbnails of every document which you have recently viewed with events. And the toolbar is very simplified, and we don't have the regular toolbar which is there in events when you open up a document. Now, this is the first comparison which everyone does when they see the screenshot or when I talk about this project to them. So I would like to clarify a bit. I think this presentation is the perfect time to do this. And so the view of the people behind events is that it is not the same as GNOME documents, and it is not duplicating the functionality, which is because this view which we are using here is just for the recently viewed documents and specifically viewed just by events, whereas in GNOME documents, you have it for all the documents which you have there. So yeah, it's not the same, and the use case is quite different. The next part which I'm talk about briefly is the tile rendering, which is the next major part of my Google Summer of Code internship. We need tile rendering because currently the way events renders the documents, the maximum zoom level is 400%, and for the documents with big pages, it is even lesser. So we need to make efficient use of memory, and I think the challenges which there will be is to get it working for the various modes like dual, continuous, presentation, and everything, and to get it, make sure that it is fast enough and sync it with the scrolling and panning, and actually make use memory properly. So. And this is the last part. The things I learned while working on this project is that just ask people if you're unsure and don't be hesitant. Be patient. It's not like the people who are working here are only doing this. Then if you discover a bug, just file it instantly because you might forget it later on. And the last part is actually object-oriented programming in C. I knew it was theoretically possible, but I had never done before. And so that's it. Thank you for listening to me.
So next speaker is Alessandro Campagni, and after him we will hear Aruna Sankaranayanan.
Hello, I'm Alessandro Campagni, Sean, and I'm working on a dual screen presenter tool in LibView by Vince. And right, I think this is cool because having such a tool doesn't rely on what you use to write your presentation. So OpenOffice has this feature, but you have to write your slide with OpenOffice, and maybe you're writing with something else. the main class is basically a GTK box, and we pack in it the slides view and some goodies. Right. The slides view is basically a custom widget, and you have the current slide and the next slide. And we use a lot of stuff from events. For example, events jobs for render the pages. What we are going to pack with this is presenter notes, so you don't forget what you have to say, and a timer, so you're not afraid of talking too much because you know when you started, and maybe something else just we can think about. This is how it looks like. I'm sorry for the screenshot because the white background doesn't help, but you can see on the top left the current slide, under you can see the next slide and the notes on the right side. Of course, it lacks some graphics, but we're going to get it better. Okay, so the slides view is working. The notes are working too. We just need to figure out who and how to write notes. I had some interesting chats in this day with some people that helped me think about it. But there's some design stuff to do. So if you have ideas, I'm happy to hear it. Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, can you hear me? Okay, next speaker is going to be Aruna, and after we'll be listening to Bogdan Chobanov.
Hi, I'm the documentation intern, and my presentation is called Why Ducks Are Cool. That's just a reference to the documentation tools that we use, which is Dogbook and Mallard. So Dogbook is this really, I think this complicated, beautiful bird represents Dogbook very well, because Dogbook is a manual-based format. So if you're looking to get to a particular help page, you'd have to flip through the pages of the manual. So just imagine a book, and you want to get to a page somewhere in the middle of the book, you'd have to flip through all the pages that come before that particular page to actually get to that page. Mallard as well, as represented by the icon, it's for the clueless user, the question mark. So it's index-based help. So you can just click on a particular page that you want to see at that point of time and just get your job done and you're done with it. Yeah, so that's the main point of using Mallard for user help. You don't let things overwhelm you. You just look at the task pages as necessary. So the main thing in documentation is paying attention to detail. This is a lot of stuff to remember. The huge X will probably make sense. So we don't use American capitalization. We use British capitalization. We don't use British spelling. We use American spelling. And there's you're not allowed to use contractions. So you're supposed to say, you know, things like, you can't say it's or you're and he's, she's. You have to say it is, you are, he is, she is. And you can't use apostrophes while you're referring to objects. So you can't say the key's shape or the table's color. You have to say the shape of the key and the color of the table and things like that. So there are some parts of documentation that is also complicated. Yes, so the work that I've done till now is to port the help for all these applications to Mallard from Dogbook. That's 4 in a row, GNOME Nibbles, and GNOME Robots. I hope some of you will be needing the help while you're using these games. right now I'm working on Seahorse User Help. It's in the Dogbook format, and we are creating a really comprehensive Mallard help. It's about 60 to 65 pages. Once I'm done with this, I'll be working on the help for Ale Riot. Right. So thank you. That's my presentation.
So next speaker is Bogdan. After him, we'll be listening to Carlos Soriano.
Hi everybody, I'm Bogdan Ciubanu, I'm from Romania, and I'm here as part of the Google Summer of Code project. Jasper is my mentor and helps me on creating a new avatar picker dialog. Maybe you wonder why we need a new avatar picker. That's because currently it looks like this. It's created with a GTK menu widget, and it doesn't really look like GNOME 3 style. And because it will be used in so many places, like initial setup, control center, contacts, and so on, we have to implement a new design, something like this. Also, I will work on the utility part too, because now if a user wants to choose a new avatar, he has mainly three options: to pick a stock image we provide, to browse his file system to select one of his photos, or to take a picture with his webcam. But there are instances when this is not enough. And the solution for this is to fetch his profile pictures from online accounts like Facebook, Google+, Gravatar, everything that can be found in GNOME Online accounts. Also, I will change the way that choosing a file from the computer works, because now it simply opens a new window, a file chooser dialog, and I'll make it part of the actual avatar picker, something like the way how you choose a new background from a photo. So this is pretty much all about it. I'll keep you posted on Planet GNOME on how it works. Thank you very much.
So the next speaker is Carlos, and after him we will have Yevgeny Bobkin.
Hi, my name is Carlos Soriano, and I'm working in the GNOME Shell app picker. Current design has some problem. For example, applications are presented as a huge scroll grid, which makes it very difficult to search for an application. So we have to resort to the CSS bar to do that. Also, collections are presented as an overlay item that overlaps the main view items. So it's very difficult to navigate through the page, through the main view, through the collection, so it's not a good design. So we propose a new design based on the idea of pages. You can see here the pages indicator, and you can click the icons to navigate through the pages. Also, we implement adaptive grid, which makes the spacing and the icons themselves to rescale and adapt to any screen sizes. Also, we rework the pan action response, which now take into account the velocity which the user gives to the action. Also, we remake the icons overall design. Now, collections open inline. For example, if you click the sundry icon in the second row, you can see that the row of the icon moves to the top and all other items goes outside the view to give enough space to the collection to fit. If collection doesn't fit, we add a scroll bar. Also, you can see that the items now are aligned to the main grid, following the main structure. In conclusion, we achieve a better user experience, which makes that more eye-pleasant and very touch-friendly. In the other hand, we did a first approach for a new screen size adaptive implementation of GNOME Shell. To finish, I want to thank Florian for the help, Alan Day to give me the opportunity and the idea to work that summer in GNOME, and Jakub for his mockups. Hope you enjoy my work, and thanks for your attention.
We are now going to listen to Yevgeny, and after him, I will be listening to Flavia Wesgidzi.
Hello, my name is Yevgeny Bobkin, and I would like to introduce you briefly my contribution to GNOME Clux. We work in a close collaboration with the GNOME design team, especially with Alan Day. And here, he looks at the logo of the Google Summer of Code and thinks how amazing this project is, probably. And it is me next to him and my mentor, Paolo Barelli, and we both look forward. So in this small talk, I would like to give you a basic overview of what GNOME Clux actually is and show some of the upcoming features. So here you see some screenshots of four major mods, basic properly aligned. So you can add a clock, a word clock for your desired location. You can have multiple alarms enabled, and there is also a stopwatch and a timer functionality enabled. So that's it. And one of the things we have done is a new selection pattern rework. So once you click on the action button, you are in selection mode, and there is no way to escape. You should do an action because it hides the close button. So in the top bar, you have more options to select items. And in the bottom bar, there is contains actions. And in the case of a single action, it is aligned to the right. So the next feature is a city images support. So it's meant so that there are two images, one at daylight and one at night. So once you click on it, it is drawn in the background. Right now, only the local storage is implemented. So next step would be to add a Flickr support. Another feature, for example, which cannot be properly shown on a screenshot, is a geolocation support in Glam Clocks. It is meant so that if you have an internet connection enabled, then based on it, your location is discovered based on your IP. So a new clock will be added automatically to the basic view. And if it's so it can be added permanently if you wish. So that's actually all, and I would like to thank you for your attention. Thanks.
So next speaker is Flavia, and after her, Joris Vallet will be presenting his work.
Hi, I'm Flavia Vajsic. I come from Italy. Yes, my surname lies, but I'm not, I will not. I attend the OPW intern with Karen Sandland and Sri Ramakrishna, and I work, of course, in marketing team. I was attend the round four, so the round five. Sorry, the winter 2013. Okay, I participated in the marketing team, and what I tried to do was to give my, I'm a journalist, so I tried to bring my experience in the marketing team in both in the internal and external communication. I think that generally in GNOME and in general in the open source, there are very good coders, but a lack of the communication. So what I try to do is bring, is try to help the community to know what's boiling, what's cooking around, making some interview. And for example, I interview John McCann about the new feature in the new feature of the incoming release, and writing some articles in which I explain some features or what we are developing, and both in external communication, helping, trying to give my help in writing the press release, and sometimes the social networking and social communication. Then I made a research about the outreach report that I presented here at GUADEC, and I'm very happy about this. And I tried to focus was the most important problem the newcomer could face when they arrive, when they join a new community. And of course, it depends from the kind of types of newcomers, and of course, the type of, and the kind of flaws communities. I try to enhance the tools provided by GNOME for newcomers, except especially GNOME Law, is the quick tutorials, of course, backtracking, and of course try to highlight the importance of the mentorship in every steps of the outreach. Yes, this was my work. I hope that you enjoy. I hope it could be useful for all. Thank you.
We are now going to listen to Joris, and after him, we will hear Caleb Lambert.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Joris Valette, and I'm working on PTV on a project called Motion Ramping. So basically, I'm another one from the French conspiracy in PTV. Okay. So how is it going to look like on the UI side? The first implementation that I'm doing is to simply split a clip and apply a rate. It's almost implemented now, and it's easy to use, so I think we'll keep it. The next thing is to use keyframes that Mathieu implemented, which is, for example, used to control the volume over time, and it would simply control the rate here. It could be pretty intuitive to use. The next possible implementation, which Jeff talked about, is to take 2 points and extend the clip or reduce the size of the clip. So it would just change the duration, and it's very easy to use and I think very intuitive. All right. So on the backend side, it's mainly work on GStreamer and GES. So on GStreamer, I changed the video rate element to add a rate property. This is already done. So now we can already change the video speed. There's also some work to do on audio property to change the rate as well, and it would be probably on the scale tempo plugin. On GES, the work to do that I've already partly done is to simply add the elements that I changed to the pipeline and just to fix bugs. Okay, and the next cool things that I could do, I don't know, it's just an idea yet, but it could be frame interpolation. For example, for time lapses, to have a smooth video, we would just interpolate frames if the frame rate is too low, for example. Okay, so thank you, everyone.
So next speaker is Kalef, and after him, we will listen to Lavanya Gunaseka.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kalev, and I'm studying at the Gothenburg in Gothenburg, Sweden, in the Chalmers University of Technology. This summer, I'm participating in the Summer of Code program, and I'm working on system settings. My mentor is Sishan, yeah, I haven't talked in front of public for a long time, so I'm a little bit nervous. Yeah, I'm working on the date and time panel and implementing a new design. Alan Day is the designer who's been working on GNOME system settings, and he has recently, well, not so recently, over the several last releases. Redesigned pretty much the whole of the GNOME control center, and now it's date and time balance redesign. So what I'm doing is I am implementing the new visual design in GNOME control center, and I'm also implementing geolocation support in GNOME settings daemon. The way it would work is that, for instance, if you have a laptop and travel to another country, it would automatically pick up any time zone changes. This is pretty much a basic feature that almost all of the phones have, but it's still so far missing in GNOME. So we are going to be on par with other mobile devices. I have some screenshots here. This is the main overview of the new panel. And clicking on different rows opens up new sub-windows for instance, setting the time itself, and when something changes, GNOME Shell is going to display notifications. Like, well, the first row is the best example. For instance, if you have traveled to another country, then it's going to tell you that it has picked up the time zone changes. Oops, that's not me anymore. So thank you, everybody, and it's been a real pleasure seeing all of you. Thanks.
So this is Lavanya, who is going to give the next talk, and after her, I will be listening to Matthias Bengston.
Good evening to everyone present here. I'm Lavanya Gunashekaran. I'm a GSOC student, and my mentor is Bruno Coden, and I'm adding activist to GCompress suit. What is GCompress? It's an educational software for the children. It's aged about 2 to 10. It says all about the architecture of GCompress. We have core API. We are having PyGoogle Canvas as a UI tool, and for maintaining the boards, we are using XML, and for menus, we are using XML. And I added sample for XML menus. It's as easy as possible to add new activity over there, and it also contains inline documentation within it. Then this is a sample for how easy it is possible to create graphical items using PyGoogle Canvas. Just few lines, you can create a rectangle or whatever the shape you want to be. Then these are the activities so far I have done. And I'm currently working on computer simulation activity. And soon you can expect as many as activities to the GCompress suite. And yes, I reached my final slide. Before ending up, I would like to thank all the GNOME team. Because of your support, I'm here. Because in my community, software development is considered as a sin. I don't know why. Then I would like to thank to Marina for extending her support. And I also thank for organizers for recognizing my work and inviting to Bruno. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So next speaker. Yeah, so sorry for the little interruption. So this is Matthias, and after him we will be hearing Magdalene Burns.
I'm very nervous. Okay, so my name is Matthias Bengtsson, and I'm working on trip planning in maps. So I've been kind of working on maps since FOSDEM this year a little bit, but only got started really now during Summer of Code. And the reason I chose to work on trip planning is that I think it's really important to have a well-functioning maps application on the GNOME desktop, because that's more and more becoming like a common app for all other platforms. Next, please. Okay, so my scope is divided in two steps. I'm trying to, like, the first step that I was supposed to be finished by now was about having support for getting routes in maps for walking, biking, and driving a car. And the next step that I'm supposedly going to start working on, or hopefully going to be able to finish after that, is public transportation, like buses and trains and stuff like that, not airplanes. Next, please. So the first step, for walking and driving cars, etc., is done by a service called OSRM, or Open Source Routing Machine. That's a really big fat service that unfortunately GNOME probably can't host for ourselves right now. So we're using a demo server that they are allowing us to use. And open source routing machine is based on pure OpenStreetMap vector data. And it has very good coverage as OSM is growing really, really fast these days. Next, please. And the next one is for the public transportation. And I decided for the scope of my project to work with a plugin interface for accessing different local services for this. There's other work, there are other possibilities for this in the future that I want to look at, specifically GTFS or General Transit's feed specification that is made by Google. Because more of the world is getting support for GTFS, like Sweden has support for all of Sweden has GTFS data. Next, please. So this is how it looks right now. I don't know if you can see, but there are some user bugs, like UI bugs right now that isn't still finished. So like the route is not supposed to be connected in the end, like that straight red line, for example. But it's work in progress, and it's working quite nice. Let's see my notes. So I've been gotten a bit sidetracked on locations, like working. Okay, sorry. Next slide, please. Yeah, so please join us. We need help. We need more developers. Thank you. Bye.
So next speaker is Magdalene, and after her, we'll be listening to Marcos Chavarria Tejero.
Oh, it's cool. I love you. I'm here to talk to you about implementing focus and carrot tracking in NoShell. My name is Magdalene Burns. Firstly, I would like you to look at the unmagnified view of your desktop, and most of you will be quite familiar with it and wouldn't have too much difficulty sort of tabbing around to get the widgets there. But then I would like you to look at the view at 2x magnification, which is the lowest level of magnification that you can get with the magnifier. And you'll find that 3/4 of your desktop you can't see, and so if you want to tap to a widget or something like that, you would have to sort of use the mouse to navigate around, which at higher levels of magnification becomes much more difficult because you can see less and less, and it's actually quite annoying. So try it and see what it's like. Same problem with if you're writing a document, you'll find that when you're typing off the page, the view won't follow. So you'll have to use the mouse again to navigate, and that can be quite annoying, especially if you're a quite fast typer. You would have to keep stopping to kind of to get to that view, and just try it, because it's quite easy to just turn it on and see how frustrating it is, and so that's what my project's about. It's about solving that problem, and to do this, we add to the API and implement a focus and carrot tracker in JavaScript, which is been kind of done, and that tracker will emit notifications, and it will only emit them to clients that connect to it. So it doesn't emit any notifications unless something's connected to it, like the magnifier. There's also sort of a long term maybe for the keyboard thing. Yeah, thank you for listening. That was my project, implementing focus and carrot tracking for NoShell. I'm Magdalene Burns. Come to the accessibility booth on the 6th, I think. Is it? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right.
So the next speaker will be Marcos, and after him, this will be Mathieu Duponchel.
Hello, everybody. I'm Marcos, and I'm studying computer science faculty in A Coruña. And this year, I've been working on redesigning and rewriting on GTranslator when I began my research for Google Summer of Code. I discovered that GTranslator was used only by a few people. I think that is because it has no features that make a difference with other existing tools, and also because it has very important bugs that are not being solved easily. So I decided to write a new application when the main goals are make it very robust, but also that it will be easy to write new plugins and extensions that make a great application of it. I also decided to write it in Bala because I want to this language encourage people that is a newcomer to contribute GNOME, because I think that writing code in C with G object is quite more difficult. Well, this is the current status of the application. It's quite similar to the GTranslator application. Maybe the biggest difference are these that I call tips, that I think that I show the translator that maybe the message that he translates, it has something wrong. And another thing, for example, when I modify the user interface and delete the menu bar and the toolbar, and I add a header bar that I think that is more GNOME shell-like. Well, that's it. Thank you so much.
So the speaker will be Mathieu, and after him we'll be listening to Meg Ford.
This works better, I guess. I'm Mathieu Duponchel, and I've also been working on general bug fixing in PTV, and I was the one who actually introduced all these new bugs 2 years ago, so I felt like I had to fix them. Yes, so I'm going to explain the general process I followed to fix bugs, which is this. We've been writing an integration test suite, which tests GStreamer from a high level, and we've then been working on fixing the bugs we observed with that integration test suite. This is an example of what I did currently. If you use Video Mixer, you can see a Video Mixer in the middle, and the fact is that for now, you can't mix different formats with the current state of Video Mixer. So, I guess GStreamer people might understand better what I'm talking about, but this is an example of the bugs I'm currently fixing. This is one bug I just fixed, and I'm working on a lot of such stuff, and I'm over. Thanks a lot.
So we'll now be listening to Meg, and after her, I will listen to Peteris Krizanis. Just a quick announcement for the students who are going to speak from now. There is a control screen here showing the same thing as on the screen, so you can just look here if you want to know what's being displayed at the moment.
Hi, I'm Meg Ford, and and I am a GNOME/GStreamer Google Summer of Code student. And this summer, I'm writing a new sound recorder for GNOME. My mentor is Sebastian Droge, and Reda Lazri has been doing the mock-ups for me. So what am I working on? I can't even remember. The app creates basically a special directory or a special recording directory, and then automatically saves the recordings to that directory. And then on startup, I use gfile info and then also gstreamer discoverer to go through and collect information about each of the files. And then I display that information now. This is the first part of the UI that I've been working on. And I display the information, basic information in the list view. And then I have different buttons so that you can do things like delete, show more information about your file, go to a play screen where you can play your file, and then I also am planning to implement sharing. And the recorder allows you to record either in FLAC, MP3, AAC, AUG, or Opus. So I finished the backend code for the record and playback functions 2 weeks ago. Last week I finished my first iteration of this. It probably needs some more work. And this week I'm beginning to work on the waveform window, which you saw in the first mock-up. And I'm using GStreamer, GJS, and Cairo to implement the waveform window. And when that's finished, I'm going to display the waveform window as you saw for recording and then also for playback and allow editing by pulling and things like that. Then the other thing I'm kind of interested in is for sharing. Media Goblin actually has an intern this summer through OPW who's writing a new API. And so I'm interested in possibly doing Media Goblin sharing. Also things like YouTube and probably OwnCloud. So that's the future. Thank you.
So next student is Peteris, and after him we will listen to Parin Porecha.
Hi everyone. My name is Peteris Krishans. I'm a four-time Google Summer of Code student, a second time for GNOME. My mentors are Philip Whitnall and super hacker Milan Krah of evolution. And yeah, so I am adding in Google Tasks support to libgdata, which is a wrapper library for all things Google protocols, and adding also to the evolution so we can all have fun sharing our task list with Google. But for open source, it's open anyway, so who cares? Okay, so a little bit on myself. I'm using GNOME for quite a long time. And one day, some 6 years ago, I decided to start a hack and test everything. So a little bit about the software involved in my work is libgdata. So I said it's a library. Evolution is an application where actually that task support could be seen. And in some support, maybe someone will add also application where the tasks can be simply seen. There is mockups for that. And the Google Tasks is the first of a new protocol format, which Google now offers. And it's in JSON, and that's the one of the main tasks for my work. was to add JSON support to libg data, and that was is almost done. Also, then specifically Google Task support, which is much less work because the most of the work is to add JSON, and that is all also almost done. I'm currently testing things, and now I'm started to hack on Evolution, so we at the end of the project we could have this support in Nest Evolution version. Thank you.
So next speaker is Parin, and after him we'll be listening to Pooja Saxena.
Hi, I'm Parin, and I'm here to introduce you to the world of GTG Online, the web application for getting things known. The screenshot you are seeing at the center is your homepage. All of your tasks will be displayed here. You can then choose to modify them, change their due dates, or change their status from active to done, or etc. The sidebar at the left will take you to the different folders and also filters based on tags. Creating new tasks has been completely revamped in GTG Online. You can now create full task trees instead of just a task at a time. I have set the controls to be as easy as possible. Tab will take you to the next subtask. Shift plus enter will toggle the description mode. And start and due are the keywords for entering start and due dates. Connecting with users is also another important aspect of GTG Online, and you can search users by name, email, and add them to your groups. You can add custom groups as per your requirements, and also set colors so that you can identify as easily as possible. After you have added users to your groups, you can then share your tasks with them. The left is the task sharing dialog, and you can choose to share a task either with a whole group or specific users or any combination you want. The right dialog shows the task details. It will only be shown if any task has been shared with you or you have shared a task with someone else. Task details contains the owner, connected users, and task log. Task log will keep a track of each and every modification that has been made to the task, and so you can easily find out what and who did what changes. Thanks to Isidore Matyushov and my co-mentor, Lionel Dricot, for passing me the midterms. I will now work on synchronization and synchronizing your tasks with GTG Online and current desktop GTG. Thank you.
So next speaker is Pooja, and after her we will listen to Rafael Fonseca.
Hi, I'm Pooja. I'm an OPW intern this year, and I'm working on improving GNOME's UI font, which is Cantarell. So to do that, I've been following a pretty straightforward workflow, which I thought might be interesting for all of you, because I guess none of you are typeface designers. So I begin with a lot of testing, which usually involves printing the font in various sizes in a lot of text in different combinations and staring at it for very long, very closely to see where the shapes don't look right or if they're not spaced properly or if, you know, something is just plain wrong or missing. The next step then is research if it's required. If a shape is incorrect and I don't really know how it should be, I'll, you know, refer to more language and script resources to see how it should be drawn and look at a lot of other good quality fonts to see what kind of solutions they have implemented for that problem. And then I would move on to the actual drawing and spacing of the font, which probably takes up the largest amount of effort. So first I'd go over and correct all the outlines and then see if the glyph is spaced correctly, which would mean that if it was in text, it doesn't look like there is too much space either on the left or on the right. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. And during the internship, I hope to basically look at all the Latin and Cyrillic that exists currently and see if there's any improvements I can make on it or any corrections. Next, I'll try and add some monotonic Greek support in both uppercase and lowercase, and hopefully also start drawing the beginnings of a lightweight for Cantarell. So that's that. Thank you.
So we are going to listen to Raphael, and after him, I will be listening to Richard Schwarting.
I'm Raphael. My project is about porting the color management from GNOME to Wayland at Weston. And so first, we need to define what a color profile is. And to put it simply, it's a set of data that describes the color attributes of a device. Different devices have different color profiles, and you might want to convert between them. For example, if you want to show to the user what one image will look like when printed on a paper. Otherwise, maybe it's a little bit hard to see here because the color space of the data show is different from the color space of the monitor, but the image on the left is being displayed with the correct color profile, and the image on the right is slightly different because it uses a different profile. Right now, the color profile information is stored on the as an attribute of the X server window. So it doesn't work on Wayland or Weston. And we want this conversion to be as efficiently as possible. And for that reason, my project is to write a shader so the color conversion can run on the GPU. And with this, we solve the efficiency problem. And also to hack into Wayland, Weston, and applications that use that use color profiles so they can talk to each other. And applications like GIMP or image viewers can get from the graphic server what color profile is being currently used. Thank you.
So Richard is going to speak right now, and after him we will be listening to Sam Bull.
Hello. Nice book I have here. Thanks, Google. So you may remember me from the last 2 years. And you may also remember my little furry friend. I have to confess, she does most of the work, and I just sit around, like, enjoying conferences. So, what am I doing this year? It says, easy to use. Oh, is that the right set of slides? That's from 2012. Yeah. Okay, so I'll be seeing you again later.
Okay, so he will give his talk at the end when we sort this out. Sorry for the inconvenience. So, okay. And so we are switching directly to the next speaker, who is Sam Bull. And after him, we'll listen to Setup Didas.
Did you need that many slides? There we go. Hi, I'm Sam Bull. I'm talking about designing with security, which Steph done a brilliant talk on earlier. What I like to do is to, obviously we all know we need to design with the user in mind, and so I'd like to think about what the easiest, most straightforward way to achieve each task is. And then you have to ask if you can meet that design without losing security, which most of the time you actually can. So my project is focusing on protecting documents on the user's local machine, which means encrypting the folders that they choose to encrypt, and then decrypting them transparently on the fly. So I first asked what is the most streamlined design to encrypt and decrypt. To encrypt, the most straightforward design is that it's a user choice, so just right-click on the folder or select a menu option from the files application and click encrypt. And then to decrypt, just open the folder and it just should just decrypt on the fly. So in summary, security shouldn't interfere with the user experience, and in 99% of the cases, it doesn't need to. If you also quickly grab that URL, you can get a working Nautilus plugin. Thank you.
So we're going to listen to Satabdi, and after her, we'll be listening to Soumya Dwivedi.
Hi, I'm Satabdi. I've been an OPW intern in last round. Round five. I was mentored by Bastian, and I worked on GeoCode glib library. So I implemented the server and the client for the GeoIP based geolocation information service. So I implemented the server and client for GeoIP based geo information service, and I also implemented the server for Wi-Fi based information service. The client is not complete yet, so maybe I'll be pushing the changes sometime soon. So in the IP based service, the query would return your city, the name of your city, the country. It's not very accurate. But say if your IP is registered from Brno, so it will show that you're from Brno. But the Wi-Fi based query is more accurate than the IP based service. So it will return your latitude, longitude, and also the accuracy. In this case, I think this is quite accurate. It's in meters, most probably. So life after OPW, I started WFS India, which stands for Women in Free Software and Culture in India. Basically, I was quite overwhelmed with my OPW experience. It was quite remarkable. So I wanted to share my experience with other women in India to promote force among them so that they can also start contributing, start using, then contribute to open source. Then I joined a job, and then I have, if I have some time left in my life, then I plan to take up new things, learn new things. Thank you.
So the next speaker is Soumya, and after her, this will be another Soumya, Soumya Patak.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soumya Dwivedi. I'm from IIIT Hyderabad, India. I'm currently an OPW intern under Andreas and Fabiana. So my project is responsive design for GNOME websites. So what exactly is responsive design? It's the use of CSS media queries to adjust the layout and the content of your website according to the device it's viewed in. So for example, if you open a GNOME website in your mobile phones right now, it requires a lot of resizing, scrolling here and there. It shows zoomed in, zoomed out content to actually go to the page you want to go to. So responsive design provides a clean, a neat, and proper way to present your websites. So how is it different from having a different mobile version for your website? The problem is there are a huge, number of mobile devices now available, and you cannot create n number of versions for n number of websites. So responsive design basically tweaks on only a single CSS file and makes the entire website consistent across all the available device sizes and makes the overall development, bug tracking, everything easier. So this was what is responsive design. for what I've done in my internship till now is the OPW website, gnome.org/OPW. It's now responsive. I've used a couple of frameworks, like Responsive Grid. Like, I've tried using Responsive Grid and adapt.js and finally ended with Bootstrap. It's pretty user-friendly, a lot of features, customizable, and a large developer community. So it's now responsive with Bootstrap framework. And currently, I'm working in the responsiveness of the main GNOME website. It's based on WordPress. Also, we are thinking about some design changes. So I'm working with the marketing community about the hierarchy of the content and the display. So yeah, that's it. These are some screenshots as to how the website varies across the device sizes. Yeah, thank you. I'd like to thank my mentors, especially Andreas, Fabiana, AV, Alan, everybody who helped me out. And yeah, have a good evening.
So this is Somya getting on stage. And afterwards, we'll be listening to Shivani. I forgot her last name, I'm sorry. Shivani Podar.
Hello, everyone. I'm Soumya Pathak. I'm currently working as an OPW intern with the web development team of GNOME. Andreas Nilsson and Fabiana Simoes are my mentors. I'm basically working on the project to develop an event website manager. This basically will make the life of the organizers of conferences easier. We have seen that every year the basic conference system has the same basic requirements, but every time we need to set up the websites from scratch, and that requires a lot of work. So we thought, why not to solve this problem? We are thinking of developing some basic modules, a basic manager that will have some basic modules which every conference requires, like the sessions module, speakers modules, which the organizers would be able to use very easily and set up a conference. So here you can see, like, there's the speaker module screenshot. The organizer just has to enter some basic details and it will be ready. We have not yet decided on what we are going to use as for this. We could also end up using some custom post types from WordPress, but we are yet to decide upon that. We will also be having a customizable theme so that overall all the conference websites will have a basic layout, but we still will be able to make some changes regarding, say, the color, the images, the fonts, so that look can be changed. The work that has been done so far includes basically asking around to people who actually will be using it, their basic needs with the system. We have been researching on the various systems that can be used because there are also some existing ones. We are yet to decide upon that. And the basic design development on the theme has started. And we are also aiming at making the theme responsive. So that, yeah, it also works on all the smartphones and all the other devices. And since the internship started, the learning curve has just been awesome for me. If you go by the technical stuff, I've been mainly working on WordPress. While researching on some system, I have also worked on Ruby on Rails. And in the theme development part, I'm also working with responsive CSS. And for working with the open source community, it's been a great learning experience with all the GNOME people. They're really helpful, especially my mentors, and AV, who we, the web development team, bug a lot about all the things. So yeah, thank you, everyone.
So next speaker is Shivani, and after her, we'll listen to Sindhu Sundar.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shivani Podar, and I'm an outreach program intern with GNOME Music.
I will be speaking for my co-interns, that is Sai and Islam, who couldn't be here and so who want me to speak for them too. We are working together on NOM Music. The aim of the project is to end up with a successful application which plays music, which searches your music, which helps you organize your music the way you want it. What we've done so far, we started up with bug fixing, and we cleaned up all the views which were implemented. And then we started implementing the phase two and phase three. Phase two included selection view and cleaning up and porting the UI to Glade. So that was a lot of learning. We learned a lot of things. And so yeah, we implemented selection view, playlist view, and we moved on to implementing search. So I had a great experience. I would just like to share the experience we had. Search was something I've been working on, and as of now, we have filtered search. I bugged Alan a lot about why is it not global, and I realized that you can bug designers as much as you want, and and well, then understand why they want what they want. And so we implemented selection. We implementing search. There have been some very highlight moments in my journey so far. There was a 10-day streak when the whole channel went crazy. We had 10 people, and we were trying to see how the app looks in Python, and we hacked like crazy. So yeah, I've learned not only GJS, but Python, and I've learned so much design stuff, I've learned so much GitHub, I've learned about bugs, and I like to thank my mentors, Vadim and Seth, and we're so happy that I think I can speak for all three of us interns that we're dying to stay a part of music and NOM, even after the internship ends, and yeah, that's it. Thank you.
So next speaker is Sindhu, and after her we'll listen to Tiffany Yao.
Hey, so I'm Sindhu, and this tacky slide was inspired by last year's lightning talk slides. So. To be honest, I haven't put much effort into the slides because then I was busy fixing stuff on Bugzilla. So I just stuck a bunch of screenshots, and so you'll have to take my word on what I did there. I'm a previous round outreach program for women intern for documentation team. I wrote two user manuals. One was for your favorite application, Terminal. And from looking like a pretty hot mess, it went to looking like, yay, I got me some help. So, Terminal's good to go now. And dictionary, so again, hot mess to pretty. GitG, so during the time of Outreach Program for Women, I learned a lot about Git, doing rebases and messing around with branches. I have no prior coding experience in the GNOME stack, but I decided to give it a shot, and here I am. I'm this round's Google Summer of Code student for GitG, and this is a Git GUI client for both newcomers and expert users. There's a bunch of features already in there. I couldn't, like I said, I'm lazy, so I just took one big screenshot. A couple of features here is my work from pre-GSOC to, up till the midterms. The main formal task that I proposed in my GSOC application was that you will have a UI for a Git format patch and a UI for Git Rebase Interactive. So that's upcoming. And the expander buttons in the diff view are my work. And you can set your Git username and email. So that's there. Lots of other bug fixes for the history view and stuff like that. So I was, yeah. This was what I proposed for Git Interactive Rebase. The design is a bit wonky still. I'll be starting work on it soon. You can clone GitG from GitMaster and check out all the cool features that we have. And if you want to help out, there is, of course, the same channel, IRC channel by the same name. And there's a mailing list as well. And yeah, so I'll be triaging bugs. Yeah, another thing I did between these two internships was I triaged a couple of bugs for GitG. And I released dictionary because I found out that my help that I wrote was not available for people to see. So I said, let's do it. Let's release this thing. And I did a GNOME dictionary release, so I'm like the unofficial maintainer apparently now. So yeah. So I'll be doing random stuff like that, and if you want to know, you can find me on IRC channels. Thank you.
So next speaker is Stephanie, and after her, this will be Valentin Barros.
Hi everyone, I'm Tiffany Yao, and I am the marketing intern as part of the OPW program. And my mentors are the more than amazing Alan and Sri. And my internship began with looking for ways to start contributing and landing on the wiki and being a little confused about how to navigate it and how to start. And so part of my project is looking at live.gnome.org and with a new fresh set of eyes and hopefully streamlining the how to start contributing pages. And so I've started a staging area and have just been working on drafts for making it as legible and accessible to new contributors as possible and hopefully a little less intimidating. And another project that I've been working on is the you might have seen me around barraging people with a camera, and that's because we're hoping to create a GNOME video that captures the spirit of the project. And so I've been talking to people involved with the project about their motivations and what drives them to work on the project and be a part of it. And so a huge thank you to everyone who I've already barraged with questions. There's still a huge number of you that I haven't had a chance to talk to yet, and I would love to do so. So if you're interested in being a part of it, please come find me. I'd love to give you a platform to share with people inside and outside of the greater community what your motivations are and why you're a part of the project. And yeah, thanks. Come find me.
So next speaker is Valentin, and after him we'll listen to Victor Tosso.
Hello people, my name is Valentin Barros, my mentor is Stephen Shaw, and this year I'm in the Google Summer of Code project with Mono project. But people from GNOME are so nice that they invited me to do this. Last couple of years, I did a tool, Faces tool in Shotwell. That tool enables the user to tag people's face in photos. Just in the same way you can do it in Facebook, for example. But this year, people from Jorba couldn't be in this Summer of Code, so I switched from Shotwell to F-Spot to implement the same tool. So basically, I'm porting the tool from Shotwell, which is writing in Bala, to F-Spot, which is it's writing in C sharp. This is Shotwell with the currently available Faces tool, which is not in the stable branch because people from Java are so perfectionist and it misses something. And this is the same tool in F-Spot. You can see it because it's a screenshot, but the tool is currently really, really broken. You can search in YouTube for F-Spot Faces tool, and you can see it. This month, I'm planning to fix some critical errors to make it work and integrate face detection. And in September, I will be cleaning up the code because it's so ugly right now. And that's all.
Okay, we ran out of battery on the first mic. So next speaker is Victor, and after him we'll go back to Richard and try to get the good slide this time.
Okay. Hello everybody, I'm Victor Toso, a Google Summer of Code student from Brazil. My mentor is Juan Suarez, and I'm here to talk about Lua support for Grillo plugins. Well, the main goals of the project is to have a new language to implement sources for Grillo. Lua has a small footprint, is quite nice to integrate with C, and it's quick to learn also, so it's a good language to implement plugins. Yeah, it's also important to note that this project is important to be transparent from core of Grillo. So I'm doing a glue code to communicate from C to Lua. I'm doing also a library to Lua that's important. The Lua sources need somehow to communicate with the application, so we need to implement a library to do that. And also it's important to notice the good documentation to bring new developers to implement new sources. Yes, you can see here in your left, AC plugins, right? Jamendo, YouTube, the way they communicate with Grillo. In green, green boxes there, you can see the glue code I'm doing. And Metro Lyrics is a source to lyrics, and it's the first Lua plugin I'm doing, and that's most of it. Some reference, and thank you very much for your patience, and thank you Juan Suarez for all the help, also Bastien for the idea, and for the feedback, and that's all. Thank you very much.
this way.
While he's doing that, does everyone just smile? And try not to gross yourself across the image. Thanks, Dad.
I know. Okay, so I think we are ready now. The fox is back.
The fox is not happy that I sent the wrong slides. I'm in trouble. So, yes, this time it's the correct slide with the correct mentor. Sorry, Alberto. I really enjoyed your mentoring over the past 2 years, but now Owen's taken over. So yes, this year, what am I doing? I'm actually here to break APIs, take away your candy, clean house, and show you how it's done, because apparently not many people are using it yet. The first thing that I ended up tackling because it was causing me problems was memory. It turns out that you actually have to free your memory. What a concept. And also there are reference cycles that were introduced because I was using Vala and didn't quite understand when to use unowned and weak. But now it's all nice. The document itself controls all the memory and there's just one unref to free them all. Oh, and I added tests. So yay, testing memory, everyone should do it. And then next, there was error handling. I was told that gError was being greatly abused, but it's so nice in Vala and JavaScript to use try and catch on everything, because who doesn't like writing three lines for every one call? So now we just use G warnings, and in case you really want to know what the warning was, there's a variable called last error that's just kind of global, or GXML last error, kind of Unix old school. After that, so you actually know how to use it. There's been a lot of documentation changes and some API changes to make things a bit smaller to write because, you know, you like to save 5 characters when writing out a type name. It's actually mostly for API compliance with the actual DOM spec. So there are some changes that are outlined there, which if you're not using it, you don't really care yet. But at least release 0.5, which I'm going to make at the end of the summer, we'll have those. And finally, some examples and documentation changes. The docs actually now link to the place in the DOM spec. So if you have any, if there's any ambiguity in the documentation that I wrote, you can actually check the original and realize that it's just as confusing and you still don't know what a C data section does. It's not like a C section. There are more examples for JavaScript and C. And by the end of the summer, I will have an example for every single method call. It's really boring, but no one can complain after that, and you all have to use it. Also, one thing, Validoc, it generates GTK docs, which is lovely, but they're kind of really ugly. So if anyone has tips for that, I would really appreciate that. So there are some different projects that I'm actually porting over to using. Okay. So I'm out of time. Those are them. If you want yours ported over, I'll do it for you. Just come and talk to me. And have a nice day. Oh, and one last thing. The most common feedback I've gotten is port it to C, so the Fox will do that.
And so this slide is very nice because, yeah, it's really the end. So this was the last Latin talk. Thanks to all the students for all their efforts and for those presentations. And thanks, everyone, for coming tonight. Marina wants to say something. So.
And I just wanted to say, if you want to work with a talented new contributor, add yourself as a mentor on gnome.lav/mentors.
Can everybody give a huge hand for Marina and Christoph?